بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday last we had discussed, we said that to get salah, a perfect salah in our life, it is not something that will come overnight, and neither is it something that will come perhaps in a few sittings or in a few lessons over a month, but this is a continuous effort that a person will have to make throughout his life. Then inshallah he will improve. There's perhaps never a stage where our salah will be 100% perfect. But we strive for perfection to the best of our ability. So we mentioned yesterday, last, that on various occasions, how Hazrat Maulana would come, and he would explain various aspects of salah, so that our salah can be corrected. And like that, many, many things you learn from mashayikh. For example, like after the Taraweeh salah, there were those occasions where we would be sitting, and on one occasion there was water that was required in the glass or in the jug. So one of Hazrat Maulana's murids were here. So he took the jug and then he passed it over to a second person, and he told him that, or he didn't even say anything, he just passed it over. That indicated that now water must be brought. So that was a youngster. So he went, he was much younger in age, so he went and he brought the water and he came. So this is how mashayikh, they make islah immediately. So, as Mana immediately he said that every murid, he must take it that it is his responsibility to make khidmat of his sheikh. That when you see that the water is empty, you take it yourself. You get it filled and you bring it and you give it to the sheikh. Don't pass that responsibility over to somebody else. And then he quoted Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Khardoi rahmatullah alayh, that Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh muhiyyu sunnah, he was the sheikh of Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayh, very very high Khalifa Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh. So he says that his father, Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh's father, we're talking about, that he said that whenever I needed water and I asked for water, then from all my sons, perhaps Hazrat Maulana was the only alim in the family. From amongst the brothers, he was the only alim. The other brothers, perhaps they were not ulama. So he said, from my sons, Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Khardoi rahmatullah alayh, he runs. And he brings the water and he gives it to me. So at that time he said, that I wish that I made every child of mine an alim of this. That he would have had this akhlaq, he would have had this character. And this is the desire that he would have had to serve his parents. And then there were those occasions also we've seen where we don't even know how to even hand over a glass of water. So if a person, he will bring a glass of water and he will hand it over, then how he will hand it over? Normally how we hold the glass and we drink the water. So we hand the glass over in that way. Now if you're going to hand the glass over in that way, then the person that is receiving the glass, how must he hold the glass? Where is the place? Where is the place now for him to grip the glass? So many a time Maulana would say, he'll say to a certain person, he says, how do you hand the glass over? So somebody that would know, he would then put the glass in his hand and he will hold the glass in the bottom. So when you're holding in the bottom, the whole top area is vacant. So the person that is receiving the water, he will hold the glass on the top and he will take over that water. So here we learn even how that a glass of water, how it should be handed over to somebody. This is how tarbiyat is made. There are ulama also that are sitting here, and perhaps this point also is very valuable. There was once an occasion where the Taraweeh Salah was performed, and perhaps that Hafiz al-Quran that was performing the Taraweeh Salah is a mashallah very good reciter. So he read in the Qiraat mode, like how when we read Qiraat a little slow, so he read in that mode. So when the Taraweeh Salah was over, as Maulana mentioned, on this occasion, he said that there are those things that you will not find perhaps in the kitabs. You won't find dalil for it. Normally those that are young students and even seniors, everything, they generally look for a proof. So he says you won't find dalil for this in the kitabs. But he says these are things that we learn from our seniors, who learned it from our seniors. So he says that I'm in a public platform. There are many, many ulama, many, many pious people, but they're not in a public platform. So therefore they do not transmit, they do not pass these things over. He says, I have been put in a public platform. So this is something that I have to pass over to you. So if it appeals to you, then you may accept it. So he says that when the Taraweeh Salah is performed, then the Taraweeh Salah must be read in a fast pace. not in a very slow pace. Other a person should read at a fast pace so you don't inconvenience people. In the hadith also it comes up in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, man amma bin nas fal yukhaffif, that a man that makes imamat of people, when he leads the people in salah, make it easy for people. Fa inna fihim ad-da'if, there are weak people that are there. Sometimes there are sick people that are in the congregation. Wazul haja, there are people that have needs. Now you extending, you reading your qirat, and you taking an additional 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, these 10, 15 minutes is a burden on the person that is behind you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that there were those occasions where I also desired to read a little longer in the salah. But he says, فَأَسْمَعُ بُكَى السَّبِي, then I will hear in the back there is a child that is crying. In that time, because it was a time of wahi, wahi would be coming down all the time, new laws of shariat would be coming down. So the woman would come to the masjid at that time. And obviously later on the prohibition where Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, etc. So nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that I also like to extend it a little bit. But when I hear that children crying, that is now inconveniencing the mother. So I also, فَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي salati, I also make my salah mukhtasar, I make it short also. So I do not cause inconvenience to the mother. So the Taraweeh salah must be such that a person should read in a little fast pace. So it does not inconvenience people. And then he said that in the Maghrib Salah should be moderate. Should be not too fast, not too slow. But a moderate pace, a person should read the Maghrib Salah. And the Isha Salah should be a little more faster than that. The Isha and the Fajr Salah. And the Jummah Salah also should be approximately plus minus the same. And then as Mawlana mentioned, he says that the Fajr of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, if I'm not mistaken, he said, quoted the Mufti of Darul Deoband, he said that it should be so short, it should be so short that you read Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. So it doesn't mean now literally to read Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. What it means that how short Surah Falaq is and how short Surah Nas is, that is how short you should keep the Fajr Salah during the month of Ramadan. People are waking up early, they're reading Tahajjud Namaz, they're having Sehri. And then people after that, they have to take a little rest sometimes and then go to work. Because they have to travel in the traffic, takes them 1 hour sometimes, 1.5 hours to reach Joburg. So they don't even have the time to rest. Many people leave for work even before Fajr Salah. So keep it short, the Fajr Salah, during the month of Ramadan. 7 minutes, Fajr must be over. People must be able to now go, they must be able to proceed to work. So the Fajr Salah also should be kept very, very short. And it's mentioned regarding in the hadith also, it comes of Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, that Sahaba were such that they couldn't tolerate being away from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba, they got the title of Sahaba. These are the Ashab, the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet we find the greatest fuqaha were among the Sahaba, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. But you never find anyone say Mufti Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. Similarly, one of the greatest mufassir of the Quran, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. But you'll never find anyone say Mufassir Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. In the field of hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, 5,374 hadith he had quoted. But you'll never find anyone say Shaykhul Hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. All of them were given one title, Ashab. These were the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, it is mentioned he was a shepherd in his young days. And one day when he was out rearing his flock, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. He was not a Muslim at that time. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, that do you have a goat in your flock here that hasn't mated as yet? So he said yes. He brought that goat. He presented it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed his hand on the udder of that goat and immediately it filled up with milk. And then he milked that goat and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank from there. And he gave Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And then he gave Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. But he's a kafir at that stage. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam seen that everyone has drunk, he placed his Mubarak hands back on that udder and it became dry. So he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what did you do? Teach me what you have done, teach it to me as well. So on this occasion, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he accepted Islam, he became a Muslim. It is mentioned from this point, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala never left the sohbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Neither in Hadar, neither in Safar. Whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was out traveling, or whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a muqim, he was a resident in his town of Madinatul Munawwara, he never left the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it came to the wudu water, he would ensure that the wudu water is ready for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The miswak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ready. the shoe of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had the opportunity of putting on the Mubarak shoe of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is how Sahaba loved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala also, this is the love they had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he would stay with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam till the night. And then it would be Isha Salah. So he would perform the Isha Salah with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he was the Imam of Quba, of Masjid of Quba. So from here he will now go all the way to Quba. And he will start making imamah there. But what he will do there, he will start reciting from Surah Baqarah in the Isha Salah. Now already it's late. He's read namaz here by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he goes there and then he makes imamah. And he starts reading Surah Baqarah. So there was one sahabi, he was a farmer. So the sahabi got tired. He says that, what is this? Every day so long, the Isha Salah is, here Surah Baqarah has been recited. So he broke his salah. He moved away from the Jamaat. And he went and he read his namaz on his own. And then he said, I'm going to take this complaint to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and I'm going to inform Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of what is happening over here. So the next morning when he woke up, he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala is saying. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Afattanun anta? Are you making fitna? What are you doing? That year you're making it difficult for people. So he told him, Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, oh Mu'adh, read Surah Sabbih Isma Rabbikal A'la. Wal-layli idha yaghsha. Wal-duha. Short surahs. That read these surahs, obviously you cannot read very, very short, it must be according to sunnah also, but make it easy for those people that are coming for salah. So he also has explained this in a beautiful way. Then he mentioned one more point, that comes to my mind now, is he said that whenever for ulama, when Allah Ta'ala gives us the opportunity, if you have to go somewhere and you have to deliver a lecture, so he says the time that has been allocated to you, he says that keep to that time limit. If they give you 20 minutes, don't go beyond that 20 minutes. If you need to take a few minutes extra, then you take permission to ask the people, is it okay if I take a few minutes extra? So then he gave an incident. He said one person, he was a very great alim, but now he's an alim from perhaps another country. And then he came for the Jummah. So they told him that the Jummah Bayan, for example, starts at a certain time, 12:30, and maybe it ends at 12:50, 20 minutes. So you allow 20 minutes have been allocated to you. So he came 10 minutes late. And then he takes the full 20 minutes that was allocated to him. So he delayed the people. And now after Jummah, people have to go to work. So people were very, very upset. Now Hazrat says, in your circles, you're a great alim of deen. Where you come from, the people know you there. You're coming from another country, you're coming from another town. People know you over there. But here, where you have come to this town to now deliver the Jummah talk, the people don't know you. And they don't know your position. They are more concerned about them going to work, returning to work. So people were very, very upset. So therefore the time that is given to an alim of deen, for any bayan, for any lecture, then he should keep within those confines. On one occasion I remember we were reading Taraweeh Salah, and we were reading last night the last quarter of 8 was the 8th para was recited. So we are also reading the last quarter of the 8th para, and in those last few rukus, where Allah Ta'ala talks about Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, and Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam. So there the Taraweeh Salah was being performed. And what we were doing? We are breaking the rakat in between the incident. So we start with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and then we go into Hud and we break over there, we go into Ruku. And then we continue with Hud alayhi salam and we go into Salih alayhi salam's waqia, in his incident. And then we go into Ruku over there. So look how tarbiyat was made. There also Hazrat came and he says, when you know Quran, when you know the translation of Quran, why are you breaking these waqias? Why are you breaking these incidents? That finish one waqia, and then you want to go into Ruku, go into Ruku. Or finish two incidents, and you want to go into Ruku, then go into Ruku. If a person doesn't know the meaning of the Quran, he's just a hafiz of the Quran, then it's understood. But for somebody that knows the translation of Quran, then finish these incidents and then go into Ruku. And then you would say that the pages also, to this extent, that the pages also, many a times when a hafiz is reading, he wants to quickly finish up his part. And then he'll read less in the second rakat, for example. So in the first rakat, he'll read maybe 3 pages. Especially if there's a hard ruku coming there, so you want to finish that up. And then he'll read the next rakat, 1 page, and go into, and then make salam. So he'll say, no, that's not the way. The way is every rakat should be approximately the same. If you're reading 1.5 pages in the first rakat, then in the second rakat also 1.5 page. If you're reading 2 pages in the first rakat, then in the second rakat also, a person should read 2.5. If he's reading 2 in the first rakat, 2 in the second rakat. Exactly, it should be approximately the same. Few lines up and down, it's not a major issue. But generally, it should be the same. Then in the Witr Salah, there also tarbiyat was made. Here also, Hazrat will explain that what is the sunnah to be recited in Witr. So one is, we all know, Sabbih Hisma in the first rakat, Surah Kafirun, Qul Ya Al-Kafirun in the second rakat, and Surah Ikhlas in the third rakat. That generally people know. Another sunnah is that to recite Surah Qadr in the first rakat. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. That is in the first rakat. In the second rakat, Surah Asr. And in the third rakat, Surah Kawthar. Inna atainaka al-Kawthar. So Surah Qadr, Surah Asr in the second rakat, and Surah Kawthar in the third rakat. And that's the second tartib. And there is a third tartib. There may be others also. These are the three that we have been taught. The third tartib is Surah Ikhlas in the first rakat. We might think also that Surah Ikhlas is short. But Surah Ikhlas in the first rakat. This riwayat is in Tahawi Sharif. Surah Ikhlas in the first rakat. Surah Falaq in the second rakat. And Surah Nas in the third rakat. So this is also another tartib. So here it will say that in the week there are 7 days. So in the 6 days, repeat each tartib twice. So if you're reading Sabbih Isma, read it twice in the week. The Inna Anzalnahu tartib twice. And the Surah Ikhlas, Surah Falaq, Surah Nas twice. And then one day in the week, you read any way that you want to read. So even that, the Witr Salah, what is the Sunnah and how it should be done, that also was taught to us. And the Salam also, when an Imam is making the Salam, so the Salam also should be approximately the same. When you make Assalamu Alaikum to the right and the left, it should be the same. The second one can be a little shorter than the first one. But more or less, both the salams also should be kept the same. So these things are practical. A person doesn't get it overnight. Over a period of time, staying under Mashayikh, all these various aspects of our life, these are all corrected. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who is the father of Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatum, he says that for 60 years I served the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Khidmat of deen I did for 60 years. And Mufti Sahib, we know the work that he has done. Just the tafsir of Mufti Sahib, the Ma'arif al-Quran. Perhaps no alim can say that he is independent of this tafsir. A few weeks ago we were with Maulana Daya Sahib and we're having a meal with him. So while speaking to Maulana Daya Sahib, he was explaining to me of Marlboro, a very senior alim in South Africa. So he told me that most of my kitabs I've given them away. He says, I haven't kept my kitab because I said, rather other people benefit. Maulana is quite senior now, elderly. So he says that I'm not going to use these kitabs. So rather somebody else use these kitabs. So he said, I took these kitabs and I gave my kitabs away. But he says, with the exception of a few kitabs which I have kept for myself. So then he explained to me, he says that the tafsir of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, the Ma'arif al-Quran, he says, that I have kept. He says, that is one of the best tafsirs that you can get. So what work he has done in the field of tafsir. In fiqh also, the Jawahir al-Fiqh of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And various other kitabs of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Hadith also, he's done great work. So he says, after 60 years of khidmat of deen, he says, many a time when it comes to namaz, masail of namaz, he says, I still get stuck. He says, still, after 60 years, at the age, at that part of a person's life, he's well experienced. So many years he's been giving fatawa upon fatawa. He says, but sometimes we also get stuck. And he says, I have to refer to the kitabs of fatwa then. The fatawa kitabs, I have to check them up. And I have to check what is the masla pertaining to salah. But he says that I see so many people, they are performing salah. And he says they are so content with their salah. They don't even have any question whether their salah is correct, whether their salah is incorrect. If something needs to be corrected, he says they have no questions whatsoever. So this desire must be within a person that is my salah correct? How can I perfect my salah? How can I improve my salah? And this is generally done, our salah, the correction of salah, the outward salah, that is done when it is shown practically. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, there was a time in his life where Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, perhaps he had ruled over half the world, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. But even though, in spite of his activities, his daily duties, Usman radiallahu ta'ala would practically, he'll go around and practically show people how salah is performed. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, also his students, is to ask them, Ala usalli bikum salata Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should I not perform the salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Show you how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform his salah. So one is the practical aspect, and that will come to inshallah towards the end of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Inshallah, now we will go to the kitab. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So here this is the muqaddama, the forward of the kitab, where he comments, he says that Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. As it first mentions, he says, سلوك و تصوف اور ذکر و شغل کے طریق کو اختیار کرنے کا مقصد اللہ تعالیٰ کی رضا کے لیے نسبت باطنی کا حصول ہے. He says that the objective of سلوك means to tread the path. سلوك means to tread the path. A salik is a person that threads the path. Now, where are you threading the path? A person is threading the path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is what is referred to as suluk over here. So he says the objective of suluk, the objective of threading the path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the objective of tasawuf. What is tasawuf? Tasawuf, this word comes from the word suf. Suf means wool. So this refers to people in the past, those pious people, those people that had no inclination towards dunya. Their concern was actually the akhirat. So they had no time to adorn themselves and beautify themselves with all the beautiful clothes of the dunya. So they used to wear simple woolen clothing. And this is how they had lived their lives. So this group of people that, whose concern was akhirat, they wore these woolen clothing and they engage in the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala, they are being referred to as the Sufia. That is where we get the word tasawwuf from. Today, unfortunately, we live in a topsy-turvy world. It's the other way around. Today, all the effort is made on the outside and not the inside. One alim said beautifully, he said, "Andar hai kala bahar ujala." He says, inside the heart is black. Work hasn't been done on the heart. But outside, a person, he is shining on the outside. As Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was Khalilullah. And when he got the title also, that Khalilullah, he is the friend of Allah. It's mentioned the Malaika objected. They objected to this. They said, Khalilullah, friend of Allah. How could he get such a title? So Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to test him, then you can test Ibrahim alayhi salam. So one farishta, one angel came down, came in the form of a human being. And when he came, he took the name of Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was out in the jungle. Every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he was a shepherd. He would take care of his animals. And there's great wisdom behind that also. That animal, it runs. For example, you going behind the animal in this direction, animal will go in the other direction. You go in the other direction, the animal will go in a third direction. So you get tired the whole day running behind the animal. Now when you're given the task of nubuwat, when you become the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, become very easy now to now tolerate the inconvenience of people, the criticism of people, the harm of people. So every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was a shepherd. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was out in the jungle. So when he said Allah once, Ibrahim al-Islam went into a trance that the name of Allah is taken. So Ibrahim al-Islam told him, please, one more time, take the name of Allah. So he said, what are you going to pay? You have to pay the price. If you can pay me something, then I'll take the name of Allah. So he says, you see these animals that are here, 50% I'll give it to you. But take the name of Allah once. So he took the name of Allah again. When he took the name of Allah for the second time, Ibrahim al-Islam went into an even deeper trance. He enjoyed this even further. So he says, please, one more time, take the name of Allah. So he says, what are you going to pay now? You already gave 50% of your flock. He says, I'll give you the remaining 50%. So he took the name of Allah. Again, Ibrahim al-Islam enjoyed it. So he told him, please, one more time. So he says, now what are you going to give? You got nothing. You got absolutely nothing. So he says that to take care of these animals, you need a shepherd. I'll become your shepherd, your slave, and I'll take care of your animals. This is when they said that this man truly deserves this title of Khalilullah, that he is the friend of Allah Ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Allah, don't cause grief to me on the day of Qiyamah when people will be raised. When people will come out of their qabr, don't cause grief to me on that day of Qiyamah. It is mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, the narration it comes of Bukhari Sharif, that Ibrahim alayhi salam will meet his father, Azar. And Azar would pass away on kufr. وَعَلَىٰ وَجْهِ آذَرَ قَطْرَةٌ وَغَبْرَةٌ. The riwayat comes that on the face of Azar, there will be dust, there will be darkness on the face of Azar on the day of Qiyamah. So he will meet his son and he tell Ibrahim al-Islam, look, I'm prepared to accept. Whatever you tell me today, I'll do. It's too late. Iman is on the ghaib, is in the world, not on the day of Qiyamah. But Ibrahim al-Islam, that grieved, that's his father at the end of the day. So he will tell Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, you told me that you won't cause grief to me, you won't humiliate me on the day of Qiyamah. فَأَيُّ خِزِّيٍ أَقْزَى مِنَ الْأَبِ الْأَبْعَدِ. Which humiliation and which disgrace can be worse than the disgrace that my father is distant from the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So as Ibrahim al-Islam will be speaking to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will tell Ibrahim al-Islam, oh Ibrahim, what's under your shoe? Check what's under your shoe. So Ibrahim al-Islam will check under his shoe. So he will see a little insect, like a scorpion or something of that sort. I can't remember exactly what it is, but something to this effect. So Ibrahim al-Islam will take it and he will fling it, throw it into the fire of Jahannam. to protect him from that humiliation of the day of Qiyamah, because his father cannot enter Jannah. Jannah has been made haram upon a kafir. This is the form that will be given to his father, that Ibrahim al-Islam will be saved from that grief of the day of Qiyamah. So Quran says Ibrahim al-Islam made this dua. And there are many duas of Ibrahim al-Islam in the Quran. So great are these duas of Ibrahim al-Islam. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. So Khalilullah is frightened of the day of Qiyamah. Why? On that day of Qiyamah, everyone will be there. In this dunya, if a person does a little wrong, people find out how he has to duck, how he has to dive. Nobody must come to know about it. But there, every person, from Adam al-Islam till the last man, all are going to be there. And everything on the big screen, everything is going to be played. So Allah Ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Your wealth won't benefit you, your children won't benefit you. A man got money in this world, he got this contact, he's got that contact. No contact there. Who will be okay on the day of Qiyamah? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. A man that comes with a sound heart, with a safe heart on the day of Qiyamah, that man will be okay on the day of Qiyamah. Allama Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullahi, or as it explains this, he says, Allama Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullahi in Ruh al-Ma'ani. He gives the five signs, there are five indications that the heart of a person is okay. And that is what the effort has to be made, not the outside. It is the heart that actually effort has been made, has to be made upon. He says the first sign is, Alladhi yunfiqu ma'lahu fil birr. The person, he spends his wealth in acts of virtue. He has to spend in the path of Allah, he has to spend in madrasa. The mother child has to pay the madrasa fee. Doesn't feel hard there. Spending on the holiday, normally is very easy. But when it comes to paying the fee of the madrasa child, then it becomes very difficult. So, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي الْبِرِ. He spends his wealth in the correct avenue. The second sign, الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. That person that guides his children towards the truth. That this is the right path. Take your children on that path. The third sign, الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِهِ الْأَقَائِدُ الْبَاطِلَةِ. There's no aqidah of falsehood, beliefs of falsehood in the heart of a person. For example, he's believing in magic and he believes in bad luck and these type of things. This is all falsehood. This is all incorrect. So he doesn't have Darwin's theory, which Hazrat mentions again and again. Darwin's theory of evolution is kufr. The Big Bang theory is kufr. So he doesn't have this type of aqaid in his heart. الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِي غَلَبَةُ الشَّهَوَاتِ الَّذِي تُعَدِّي إِلَى النَّارِ. He doesn't have so much of desire. Every person has desire. A man, he has to have desire, otherwise he won't get married. So Allah has kept desire within every person. But he doesn't have so much of desire that it will take him to the fire of Jahannam, that he'll get involved in haram. This is a fourth. And the fifth one, الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِهِ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. That غَيْرُ اللَّهِ, other than Allah Ta'ala, is not in the heart of a person. So this is what the effort has to be made on the heart of a person. Many times as it says, give yourself marks. Give yourself marks. That how many have I got out of five? 1 out of 5, 2 out of 5. If you got 5 out of 5, you're okay. But if you haven't got 5 out of 5, you got 1 out of 5, or you got 2 out of 5, that means that now you need treatment. Because effort has to be made on the heart. This body which Allah Ta'ala has given us, this is made of two things. One is the physical body and one is the ruh. So the physical body that we have, this is made from sand and water. And that is why the nourishment comes from sand and water. Also, all the food that we eat, whether it's meat, whether it is vegetable, whether it's the milk that we get, that's from sand and water. And the other aspect is the ruh. What is the ruh? Quran Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. This ruh, this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. When the command of Allah Ta'ala is in the body, everything functions. The moment this command comes out, the body stops functioning. The command of Allah Ta'ala is in the eye. As long as it's in the eye can see. The command comes out and the eye can't see. But take this eye now, do a cornea transplant. Put it into another person's eye, because this man is dead now. The command of Allah is out, so he's dead. So the eye cannot see any longer. But take the same eye and now transplant it, which is obviously not permissible. I'm just explaining the point. Transplant it, give it to another person who requires the eye. That same eye that cannot see in this body, it will start seeing there. Why? Because the amar, the command of Allah is in that body. The heart, the man, the command of Allah has come out from the heart now. The man is dead. So the heart is not working. But do a heart transplant. Take the heart and now put it into another person who needs a heart. That heart that is not functioning here, it will start functioning there. Why? The command of Allah Ta'ala is in that body. So the ruh is the command of Allah. So this ruh, the food for this ruh, this comes from Allah Ta'ala. It comes from the top. This is your salah, your zikrullah, your tilawud. This is all the food for the ruh. Now, if we have to look in the world and we analyze, Look how much of effort has been made for the body that has been made of sand and water. All the hospitals that are functioning in the world. What is it for? Man has got a problem with his eye. You got an optician, optometrist, and I don't know what and what, how many names you got. A man that got a problem with the heart, you got a cardiologist and how many different doctors for the heart. A man has got a problem with the brain, neurologist, neurosurgeon, and how many other names they have for that. A person has got a problem with his skin. For that, there is a doctor to attend to your skin. But the actual thing which is the ruh, for that, how many hospitals do we have? Mufti Sayyid Palanpuri Sahib, Sound Barakatam, when he was here now, he said that many places, he says, the khanka only runs in Ramadan. He says, only in Ramadan. He says, that is not Diobandi yet. He says, that khanka must run throughout the year. If a man is sick, and all the cardiologists say, we work 1 month in the year, the rest of the year we off. He's got a problem with his heart. For 11 months, where must he go? A man that's got a spiritual illness, he must be able to go. This is a hospital. The khanka is a spiritual hospital. So he must be able to go to that spiritual hospital to get his treatment at any time of the year. So this is the actual effort, the effort that has to be made on the heart. Now they've come even to this extent. They've got injections. For example, a person under the eye, for example, all this, as you get older, it sags in, it goes in. So now they give you an injection, it makes you look younger, facelift, and there's so many things. And many of these things are all cancerous also. So all this effort that has been made, this is made on the body. The effort has not been made on the heart. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the Quran. The actual beauty is in deen. Allah has kept in deen. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that the tahajjud namaz that they used to perform. Allah Ta'ala says, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا, that these Sahaba, the companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will see them sometimes in ruku. Sometimes you will see them in sajda. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, they want the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala says, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِّنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, that they have marks on their faces. Ya Mufassirin made it very clear. They say it doesn't refer to the mark that comes on the forehead when a person makes sajda, when he presses his head on the ground. And many people you find that they have a mark on the forehead. They say, no, this is not the mark that he's been referred to over here. The noor, the light that came out of their faces, this was the effect of the tahajjud namaz that they read. Today, doctors have proven it. Today, after 1400 years, they have proven, they say, that when the heart pumps blood, the blood that has been pumped, it goes down. It is pumped downwards. It doesn't go up. So, when a person, when he performs salah, he goes into sajda. So all the blood that is down now, this all goes immediately to the brain. And now the face. So this is the effect of that brightness that you'll find, the freshness of the face. That's why immediately you see a mu'min and you see a kafir. You'll see the difference. You'll see that nur on the face of a mu'min. Allah Ta'ala has kept it that way. So that brightness and that beauty comes where? In the tahajjud namaz. Allah Ta'ala has kept beauty there, not in the cosmetics. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in one hadith, نظر الله إمرا سمع مقالتي فوعاها ثم أداها كما سمعها أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Allah Ta'ala keep that person fresh who he heard my words and then he preserved my words, he remembered my words, the hadith of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then he passes it on as he had heard it. Here the commentators of hadith say that Allah Ta'ala will keep that person handsome. Allah will keep beauty on his face. Any person that teaches the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala will keep brightness in his face. And Allah Ta'ala will make it such that he will become famous amongst people. Allah Ta'ala will give him a lot of respect and honor amongst people. That's why you'll find the great muhaddithin, those that are Shaykhul Hadith, Muhaddith, when they're doing Bukhari Khatam, so many kitabs, they're making Khatam of how much of respect, how much of honor Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given them. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, عَلَيْكَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَتِلَاوَةِ كِتَابِ فَإِنَّهُ نُورٌ لَكَ. Make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Make tilawat of Quran Sharif. This is going to become nur for you. So we find that the actual beauty Allah Ta'ala has kept in deen. See, so we said from this point of tasawwuf. So the actual maqsad of spreading this path to Allah Ta'ala and the actual maqsad of tasawwuf or zikr or shughal and the zikr of Allah Ta'ala and the spiritual exercises. What is the objective of all this? He says the objective is this, that a person, he gets inward connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That he gets nisbat batini. That you, a person, he treads the path to Allah, he treads this path of the tasawwuf, he makes zikr, spiritual exercises. All this is to attain that internal connection with Allah Ta'ala, that the heart of a person is now connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah explains, he says that when we didn't have this nisbat, then we used to sit on the mimbar. And he said we used to give bayan. He said when we used to give that bayan, the mimbar used to shake, the way we used to speak. and we used to shake, and the masjid used to shake. And he says that the hearts of the people, no effect whatsoever. He says this is when a man doesn't have nisbat. And he says when Allah Ta'ala gave us this nisbat, when we made ta'alluq with Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi, and he says when we got this nisbat, then simple bayan. See, mashayikh, they speak simple things. Everyone is sitting and writing. So he says, we used to give simple bayans. And he says that there used to be earthquakes on the hearts of people. There was such effect that Allah Ta'ala had kept in when you had nisbat with Ahlullah. When you got the ta'alluq with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says, this is the maqsad and this is the objective of a person treading this path towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue from this point. Inshallah.